for waiting. So next speakers are Akemi Green and Betty Ikes. Akemi is a graduate student in the Linguistic Department of the University of Hawaii. And Betty Ikes is also a PhD candidate in History Department of the University of Hawaii. Both of them are working on Tokelau, which is a language in Polynesia. Thank you very much.
Maloni koutou. It's nice to see everybody here. I'm Akemi, and my colleague Betty is here, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about the collaboration that we've been working on for the last few years together. In general, language documentation, as it has stood for these last 10 years, has really talked about collaboration as two kinds of separate enterprises. So collaboration between scholars who are often thought to be outside of the community, or collaboration between scholars who are outside of the community and community members. And here we have a unique, hopefully not entirely unique, but we have a situation that kind of runs counter to that, where Betty and I are both academics. We're both here at UH. But Betty's also in the community. And so as she's doing her research and as I'm doing my research on the same community, we've come up with some different ways of collaborating. And because we're asking different kinds of questions in our own research and asking different questions together, we have kind of stumbled upon a different model of doing collaboration. And so today we'll talk a little bit about what we've done so far and also talk about some of the challenges that we've encountered as we've been working together for the last 3 years. So I'm going to start out with Betty. Betty's going to talk a little bit about the community and talk a little bit about her work as a historian. She's been at it a lot longer than I have. And then I'll jump in and talk a little bit about the linguistic work we've been doing together, and then we'll finish with some of the challenges that we've faced. So, Betty.
Aloha mai kakou, maloni koutou. First, I acknowledge the place, Hawaii, which is where this gathering is taking place, and the ancestors, of course, and the native peoples, the Kanaka Maoli of this land. Mahalo nui, hokotai lahi. I also acknowledge the Tokelau community in Hawaii. I am sort of a representative of them today, and sort of an academic, so bear with me. And I'm grateful to my colleague, Akemi, for being a constant friend to the Tokelau community, myself, and for allowing me to share the platform with her so that I can share some thoughts and to give the Tokelau community a voice. So here we go. First, the community. With which I conducted research between 1995 and 1997. That was a formal part of the interviewing for oral histories that I did for my master's thesis. Is the Tokelau community residing in Wahiwa, central Oahu, right up there in this map? There's approximately 1,000 Tokelauans living in Hawaii, and around 500 live in this area called central Oahu through Aiea, Waipahu, Mililani, and the Leeward Coast. Majority are in the lower rungs of the socioeconomic indicators. Less than 10 of the second generation Tokelauans here have completed a college education. The first generation migrated here from American Samoa in the 1960s, and I am a participating member of the community, an aspect of the observer dynamic of doing research there that presents unique challenges. The homeland of the community, or should I say the cultural heritage, is Tokelau. Tokelau is a group of four islands that are located right above Samoa to the west of Tuvalu and to the east of the northern Cook Islands. The islands Alohenga, Hakaoho, Nukunono, and Atahu are culturally Polynesian and linguistically related to Tuvalu, and very much influenced by the Samoan language when the missionaries brought the Samoan Bible to Tokelau in the mid-19th century. The imperial, the Tokelauan Islands became imperial outposts for Great Britain, and then later on New Zealand annexed the northern three islands in 1925. The southern island, Olohenga, was annexed by the United States. So the diasporas today that exist of the Tokelauan communities are largely about 8,000 in New Zealand, and there's a few of us here in Hawaii. The first relocation, the diaspora in New Zealand was resettled there by the state in the 1960s because of overpopulation and catastrophic cyclone destroyed the islands. So the migration there to New Zealand was an assisted migration where the community had a relationship with the state. The state, in fact, today continues to fund language documentation, language revitalization programs for the Tokelauan community in New Zealand. On the other hand, the migration that came here to Hawaii was under very different superstructure. The colonial factions in Olohenga relocated the Tokelauan population to American Samoa, where Tokelauans really had no access to land or other socioeconomic opportunities that the Samoan people have. So my ancestors had no other alternative but to leave and go somewhere else. Well, Hawaii is where it is. We were not assisted. We are not recognized by the state as a unique entity. We have very little information except for a census piece that appeared in the 2000 census, the US 2000 census, showing there's a few Tokelauans here. But because of that, it's a huge struggle for us in revitalizing and perpetuating the language of our ancestors here in the islands. How am I doing? Okay, so fast forward to 1995. There's approximately 500 of us in this area now. And because of my college work, I decided to do oral histories and document the histories of my ancestors, why we're here. So the purpose of the oral histories that I conducted then was simply I told my aunties, my uncles, grandmothers, great-grandfathers, I want to know the history of where I came from. If my children ask me, I'd like to be able to tell them, and so on and so forth. But I also assured them that the documenting of this history will not be something that will be laundering, a launder list out in public of our history. So much of what they told me, they asked me also, or they edited as they went along. They would tell me, okay, please don't repeat that. Please don't repeat that, or go ahead and say that. So it was, an ongoing collaboration with my with the people that I worked with. So these oral histories that I took, most of the people the seven that agreed to interviews are basically laborers in the pineapple industry in the mid-1960s when they moved here. Many of them still reside in Wahiwa, but I was interested in their lives in Olohenga. So the questions I asked them were questions that a historian would ask, things that would lead me to, made a narrative that, for example, gave me some ideas of the social changes, what these forces were, and so on and so forth. Perhaps something that a linguist would not be asking this group. The consequences of me writing a master's thesis was that I sort of created a community around this. And so there was some cohesion, whereas there was no community to speak of, organized in the past. Now we began to have a community. And I de facto became a community organizer. So there were many consequences of this oral histories. You can ask me about it in the question and answer section. But the other thing that happened after the storytelling was we began realizing, the second and first generation Tokelauans here began realizing that there was a language shift, a language loss among our community. Many of our children didn't speak, and we began to realize this only because we had collaborations with other diasporas and the Tokelau homeland who came to visit us. And our youngsters realized that, you know, you should have been teaching us this language all along. Okay, fast forward. We decided, a few of us language activists in the community decided, to start an informal Tokelau language school. So Tilumanaki o Tokelaui Amelika was born. Okay, this is a school of Tokelau language and culture. We started off with about 3 or 4 students in a garage. Within months, the school grew to a group of 30, and then to 60, and we needed a larger place. And so, you know, the story goes on from there. But the interesting thing about the school is that it was very possible simply because of certain factors that were in place. The community, the diaspora community, had sort of matured to a place where socioeconomically a few of us were able to give of our time to conduct this school on the weekend. The parents who bring their children are in a position where maybe some of them don't work on the weekends. They can bring their children. Some of the children who stopped coming, for example, because their parents worked on the weekend. So economics has a lot to do with this, with the school development as well. But one of the biggest boosts to the school was the Language Documentation Center that I came across here on campus. A few of us decided to attend one of their sessions, and at this is the place where I met graduate students like Akemi Glenn, Katia Jenkins?
Jensen.
Yeah, and Sarah Olson. Okay. And these graduate students began coming out to the community, and we began collaborating on a new, better version of the existing Tokelau dictionary that we have. And we also decided, well, maybe we should create some other language education materials. So this collaboration has enriched the school, Tokelau school, out in Wahiwa. At the same time, it has also brought the school to a public place where then we could begin to accumulate a sort of reputation that then allowed us to collaborate even more with other partners in the community, for example, Walmart, the Real Sun Foundation, the administration for Native Americans. I mean, once these people see that we are committed to the mission of Tilumanaki, they as well believed in our mission, because part of our mission is not just to perpetuate and revitalize the language of our community, but en route to that, we also are developing, you know, hopefully wholesome youth who then grow up to be better contributors to the community. So once you make the community at large see that, collaborators like Akemi, like Walmart, like Real Sun Foundation and ANA, they don't mind working with us. But it's been a struggle, and there's been many, many challenges along the way, and we continue to work together to see how we can, you know, have a mutually enhancing partnership. And now I present your colleague, Akim.
Thanks. We don't have that much time left, but I would like to just talk about a little bit of what we're planning to do in the future. We can. As Betty mentioned, we had several graduate students work with the community, and for one summer, we spent the entire summer going up there and working with them on the Learner's Dictionary. And I'm happy to say that in just a few weeks, we will debut it. It'll be available online, so all of you guys can be involved in learning Tokelauan from wherever you are as well. But for the most part, this collaboration has also provided new sites for us to jump into research. Particularly for me, when I started this project with them, I was an MA student, and now I'm 4 years into this and a PhD student and focusing my dissertation research on this diaspora community. So one of the things that's really interesting about this collaboration is, as Betty mentioned, the Olohenga population. There has been documentation of Tokelauan in the past. There are actually quite a lot of linguists in New Zealand who've done research on Tokelauan. But for the most part, people said that there was no Olohenga dialect. And that's mostly because most of the Olohenga people were here. So her oral history research and recordings are really invaluable, especially because we've had kind of anecdotal descriptions of Olohenga dialect being very different from the standard dialects of Tokelauan. So having this resource here, something that we plan to digitize and perhaps archive in our new digital archive here at UH, gives us a really great resource, not just as linguists, but also for the community. The community has access, or will have access, to these recordings. Hopefully some of the children in the school can hear the voices of their grandparents speaking Tokelauan and talking about their lives. So that's something that's a future impact. I'm not going to be able to go through all of the slides because we only have a couple minutes left. But one of the issues that we've found in the last 3 years of working together is that though doing this work together, and both of us as academics have been able to kind of shine a little bit of light on the fact that there are Olohenga people here, at the same time, shining that light has kind of made us commodities in a way, and it definitely made the community a commodity. There are lots of people in our department who are working with communities themselves, but our Olohenga population is here. They're very close by. And that's been good in some ways because it's given people access to the university and given university people, some of you in the audience have come up with me to Pōmoho and been able to meet people in the community. But it also makes the community something that's very easy to point to when we want to talk about what UH Linguistics or what our program is doing. And one of the things that we've really had to deal with as collaborators in this particular situation is how to make sure that the community is still in the driving seat and that the community itself has recourse for deciding how the research that we do gets transmitted to the rest of the world, whether that's what kind of papers are published or whether or not community members are invited to participate in certain things that happen here at the university. But I think we're running out of time, and I think we've actually gone over time. I want to thank you guys for your patience. But if there are any questions, I'm happy to, I think Betty and I are happy to.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Yes.
Yep.
What sort of language teaching materials do you have available when you're teaching in the beginning stages of
testing? What we did was, we also have colleagues in the Samoan language department, and in fact, one of my historian colleagues, Fata Simanu Klats, and her mother are both instructors there, and they have produced numerous beginner types of language learning tools. And I was very fortunate that they allowed me to simply take their work, make copies, white out the Samoan words and place them with Tokelauan words. So a lot of the materials that we work with are borrowed from the community at large and other colleagues that allow us to do stuff like that. I mean, but mind you, I did get their permission to do that. This is not something I would just go and do on my own. And also we use the Hawaiian language books to sort of model our own materials from there. So we can pretty much cut and paste And that's how we've learned to do it. Also, in the more recent past, we've been able to, when Akemi and I went to Waikato last year to present a paper together at a conference there, we got all kinds of people coming up to us and say, hey, you know, we have this Tokelauan stuff, you want it? So, you know, little by little, that stuff is coming our way. But we are looking forward to developing a more formal curriculum.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.